Hello, all together.
Ring, ring, whoop, whoop. Or
similar notifications are things we hear from our phones from time to time. And why push notifications are a problem for free smartphones, this is something we will hear from Shabi, who is a freelancer Android developer. Have fun.
Ja, dann herzlich willkommen alle zusammen.
Hello, all together.
Wie gerade schon erklärt wurde, and mein Name ist Christian Schabesberger.
As has been explained right before, my name is Shabi. I am open source developer for about 10 years. And
open source Android YouTube app.
10 years ago, I started the open source app NewPipe and handed over the development 6 years ago.
Entwickler für die Android
was for some time developer of the co-developer of the OwnCloud app. Now I am a commercial app developer, but I am also giving trainings for the AOSP platform, and we are telling companies how they should use the Android platform for their products. My talk is about a topic some people find a little bit intriguing, and I will make a few statements at the end of the talk. Well, let's see how that works. But until then,
das ganze Ding von vorne anfangen, erstmal erklären,
I would like to start at the very beginning and explain what is push,
dann gehe ich
how does it work,
mit dem aktuellen push ein,
what the actual issues with current push solutions are, and what potential solutions for this problem could be. But I will also speak a little bit about the problems of our potential solutions. And I will also explain why I made this statement at the very beginning. So, what is push? Push notifications are always involved if a notification message came popping up on your smartphone. Not always a push notification was the source for that.
Warum push?
But why push at all? Problem is, your smartphone is not reachable from the outside, because with a smartphone you're mostly all the time behind a firewall or a NAT. And this means the application server can't talk to your phone directly and can't send messages to the app on your phone. This means that the app on your phone have to establish connections to the application server by their own, either by regularly calling them or try to establish a connection with the server for a long time. Polling is expensive, and therefore you want to avoid that each app has its own solution. And the solution for that is the so-called push protocol. A dedicated push server is declared in this scheme, and your smartphone will try to only keep an open connection to the push server. And it's not no longer each and every individual app that has to maintain its own connection. If an application server has a message for an app and wants to hand it over to the app, then the application server will connect with the smartphone app, but it cannot do that, as we learned earlier. Instead, the app will connect with the push notification server, and because this connection is a long-term connection, this established connection can be used to forward incoming messages from the application server to the smartphone. And in each smartphone there is an operating system service that will route this message to the ich auf corresponding destination app.
Es gibt immer nur eine stehende Verbindung.
It doesn't matter how many apps are installed on my phone. There is only one established connection with the push notification server.
So weit, so gut. Haben wir geklärt, was ist.
So far, so good.
Jetzt zur Frage, wie funktioniert das in der Praxis?
Now, how does this work in practice?
Ja, auf modernen oder auf eigentlich
on
Smartphones,
modern or mostly all Android smartphones. This is done over the Google Push Server. It's also called Firebase Cloud Messaging Server, some sort of marketing gag.
Das ist einfach der Push Server von Google.
This is the Google Push Server.
Hat nun mal seinen Namen geändert.
It has changed its name after
System bei Google besteht eben
some time ago.
Wie gesagt, aus dem Push Server selbst, aus dem Ding,
and this system besteht. Consists of the push server itself, which is hosted at some Google computation center, and the operating system module that corresponds with that.
Wie funktioniert das jetzt in der Praxis?
So how does this work?
Gehen wir mal auf die Initialisierung an.
Let's look at the initialization.
Es gibt zwei Phasen, einmal die operative Phase.
Basically, we can distinguish two phases, the operative phase, where the push service is already up and running, and the initialization phase, when an installed app wants to use push messages.
Hey, ich möchte push.
And the app will talk to the service and say, hey, I want to use push. And the play service will then hand over a token to the app. This token will also be forwarded to the push server. And then it's the app's task to hand over the token to the application server.
Vier Parteien Wissen über denselben Token haben.
When all of these four parties have knowledge of this particular token, then they can communicate with each other over the push network. If an application server wants to send me or my smartphone a message, then it does this by publishing a message with this token to the push server. The push server knows, this message is meant for my smartphone, and correspondingly forwards the message to my phone.
Diese Benachrichtigung gerichtet war und leitet dann eben die Nachricht an die jeweilige App weiter.
The Play Services will then forward the message to the corresponding app. So where's the problem?
Aktuell gibt's einfach genau zwei Anbieter dafür.
Currently there are only two providers for this mechanism. With iOS, there is Apple as a provider, and for Android phones, there is Google as a provider. There are basically no other meaningful providers. The problems with that are quite obvious. It's a duopoly. And second, the push messages are unencrypted. So when you send a message, it's transport encrypted. But when the message goes from the application to the push server, then it's encrypted. But the push service itself can read the decrypted message. There are only American providers for that. And there are surveillance incidents, for example, in the year 2022, it came up that certain parties on this world asked Apple and Google for data about this push service.
Ja, gibt's eine Lösung zu diesem
Problem? Well, but is there a solution for this problem?
Ja, gibt's.
Well, yes, there is.
Können wir uns einfach vorstellen, wir machen das
so basically, we can imagine we can do this decentralized. How would we do this decentralized?
Well,
let's look at the initialization phase again. So basically, we install an app and the app wants to use push notifications. In the central case, we want to have a token from the app that the OS receives. And we attach an address to this token that is the address of the push server. And then what happens then is the operating system knows the push server and sends that token to the push server. The app sends the token with the address to its application server, and then we basically have the same situation as before, where we have the session initialized, but we have our own address in this case, meaning we can control which server we want to use. And then we basically continue as normal to the operative phase, instead that now the application server can talk to multiple different servers and not just one different server, meaning that in this case we need the address for the server, and if the application server uses the wrong address, it will not be delivered. So basically the application server has to choose the correct push server, and then we basically continue with the same model as before, where the token is used to deliver the notification to the app. There is a solution that does this. It's called Web Push. Web Push is a RFC standard, or rather it consists of three RFC standards. That is RFC 8030, which defines the Web Push. RFC 8291 defines the encrypted push service, or it defines the encryption with end-to-end encryption. This is interesting because the way that it works is that it does not encrypt the HTTP stream, but rather RFC 8291 defines the encryption within HTTP. So the encryption is encrypted within the HTTP stream. RFC 8292 is a definition for how the application server identifies itself to the push notification server. This is relatively new. This RFC 8030, it's from 2016, so it's significantly newer than, for example, the Android and iOS push systems. Those are a bit older. And basically, how do we know this? How do we know web push? If you ever received a notification in your browser for a website wanting to send you notifications, that is basically the web push protocols. Most people usually relate to this negatively because websites very frequently use this to send you advertisements and spam messages. As you can see, this is also can be used for websites. For example, if you have a Matrix online client or a Signal web client or a WhatsApp web client, the app is able to send you notifications even if you close the tab. If you have a Linux, for example, with KDE, and you receive a push notification to your Firefox or Chrome, the browser can then forward the notification to the operating system or the desktop environment, which can then notify you. The downside of that is that if it only works when the browser is open. When the browser is closed, you will not receive the notifications. Now, people thought about what would we do if we use this web this web push service for applications or phones. And if you continue this thought, you arrive at Unified Push. Unified Push is basically doing exactly that. A backend application server can use web push to send data using the web push standard, to send it to a unified push notification server, which can then be used to notify apps. Now, which apps support this? Basically, the apps that you can see here. We have all of these apps are available in the F-Droid store, basically. We have Fediverse clients. We have a fork of Signal and Telegram that are able to do this. We have multiple Matrix clients that are capable of doing this, and interestingly, we also have Fennec here, the fork of Firefox that also supports unified push. And the idea behind that is that Fennec can use web push notifications and receive unified push notifications. And DevX5 is a web dev client or card dev client. And the idea behind that is not to notify the user, but the idea is that if you have a calendar and you change something, that the changes will be synchronized to your smartphone app directly, and you don't have to wait for the next synchronization of the application. What are the advantages of this system? So basically everyone can use their own push server, and it's decentralized. Nothing stops you from setting up your own push server in your home, or you choose a Hetzner service or any other hosting provider. Webpush is encrypted, it's end-to-end encrypted, and if everyone has their own server and is able to set up their own server as they wish, you gain digital sovereignty and you are independent with your IT. Companies, NGOs, and organizations are able, well, providing that they move to Unified Push, to have a full on-premise solutions for their smartphones. Because when they only use apps that use Unified Push, they can use these services or most of these services on the smartphone and can then use these services with their own computational capabilities. But we'll talk about that later. If we actually have a full Unified Push system, we can do this. And I think that if this was the case, if we have if we replace Google Push with Unified Push, we have a very good chance on establishing a third platform besides Android and iOS and establishing other operating systems or, for example, a Google-free Android. But this is the transition to the problem with this that the current solutions have. Push notifications are a gated community and a quite big one at that. Basically, there are two providers at the moment, Google and Apple. And if we say we want to use a third provider, well, that's difficult. It's hard to enter this market, and nothing stops you from doing this. You're allowed to do that. But when you go to the producer of a mobile phone and you ask them to roll this out, well, then they will say, but they want to reach as many users as they can, and most users use apps that use Google Push, and they want to support as many apps to reach as many people as possible. But they would rather roll out Google Push. And if you're an app developer and you're thinking about whether you use Google or Webpush system, well, you have the problem that you want to reach as many people as you can, and on most smartphones there will be Google Push, so you will write an app for Google Push. So, yeah, you have a hen and egg problem, and you can't enter this market so quickly. A different way to look at the problem is if you look at the personal use compared to the market share. So, for example, if you are self-hosting a file cloud, for example, Nextcloud, then I would say that you have a quite high personal gain from even if it's just a single user instance, because you can use the service yourself and it's instantly usable and useful for you. If you have a chat app, you're looking at kind of this graph, because if you're the only person using a chat app, you don't have much use from that. If you have 10 people using it, you already have more of a use for the chat app. And if society as in its entirety uses this chat app, you have a very high use from that. Now, of course, this is also a bit of a gated community, because if people use this chat, you can reach them with this chat. But at least you're able to have this chat app, or you have multiple chat apps installed.
Bei Google Push ist das so ein bisschen anders.
With Google Push, it's a little bit different. I only have a choice between iOS and Android.
Wenn ich jetzt da als Dritter rein möchte,
and if I want to enter this scenario as a third party, I can do that. I can establish a new system on the market.
Dieses System wird sich einfach sehr lange nicht etablieren.
This system will have issues in gaining a grip on the market until it is really usable. And why is that? Because app developers say, why should I support an additional push system? Most people can be reached via Google Push, and so there's no reason to establish another push notification solution. It's simpler. And
then
app developer who says, hey, I want to earn money with what I'm doing, this developer will try to reach the largest amount of people out there.
Wenn ich jetzt sage, mein persönlicher Nutzen ist aber Google-frei zu sein, aber die meisten Apps
if my claim is the
dann habe ich erst
use case is I am free of Google,
mein Problem ist, sobald
then
eine App
I only have an advantage at a very late time, because
dieses ganze Google Push Problem wieder rein.
If this person uses an app like WhatsApp, this person immediately gets the push service from Google into its app again. So it looks like I always have to rely on Google Push. You can also look at this topic from the topic of a market adaptation rate. It's a graph that tells you
Verbreitung unter der Gesellschaft, wie verbreitet ist ein bestimmtes Produkt unter der
Gesellschaft? How well established a product is in the broad majority of the society. And on the left side we have the early adopters, on the right side we have the late adopters, and the majority is somewhere in the middle. You have to read it like this: the more people use a product, the faster new users will use this product as well.
Sagen wir mal 50% der Gesellschaft ein gewisses Produkt benutzen, dann
geht
es natürlich automatisch wieder langsamer, weil es kann ja nicht mehr als
50%
der Leute ein neues Produkt.
If we have a market share of 50% of the population, then yeah, the
man kann halt sagen, man kann sich diesen Markt auch für einen Standard angucken. Ja? Man kann
you can also say that you look at the market from the perspective of a certain standard. And what we have with the push protocol is a standard protocol or a standardized protocol. And it works like, yeah, the winner takes it all. Right now, Google Push is the standard. And we who would like to use Unified Push, we are the early adopters. We are somewhere down there. And if we say we want to enter this market, then we have to climb this hill and we have to get above this 50% until it is a self-sustaining mechanism. And if we have
Google Push Geräte, wir haben Unified Push.
If we have Google Push devices and Unified Push devices, and one of these two gains the upper hand, for example, Unified Push gets 60% of the market share, then the developers say, ah, yeah, of course, I will go to, or I will use that service I can use the vast majority of the users with.
Und damit wird Unified Push automatisch mehr.
And in this 70, scenario, Unified Push would automatically gain more and more popularity, 70-80%. But if it stays with around 10%, then Google Push is basically the only existing solution.
Ja. Und
ihr seht den Punkt? Well, yeah, you see the point.
Ich glaube, dass es da einfach eine gewisse Hürde gibt.
I think there is a certain hurdle to overcome. Why do I think that this particular topic is a blocker for free operating systems on mobile phones?
Für die Verbreitung, für die
or for, say, the distribution of free mobile phone operating systems. First of all, we have to look at Android. Android is not an open system. AOSP is an open system. AOSP is the Android open source project on which Android is based on. AOSP is licensed under the Apache license and partly under the BSD license, and these are permissive licenses. They allow us to develop closed source products with them. And one product in this family is Android. Android is basically AOSP plus the Google Play services plus the certification from Google, a certification of the device I want to call an Android device. I send this to Google, Google checks it and says, yeah, okay, it's compatible with all the apps out there. You are allowed to put a Android sticker on your device. AOSP basically looks a little bit like Android.
Ich kann die für meinen täglichen Gebrauch nutzen.
You can use an AOSP device for your everyday use, but you are not allowed to call it an Android device. LinuxOS basically is not by default shipped with the Play services, and for that reason you're not allowed to call this an Android device. AOSP is not open source because Google
AOSP ist lediglich ein Vehikel dafür, die Play services an die Leute zu bringen.
AOSP is a vehicle to bring the Play services to the people, and this is the cash cow from Google. That's the main topic, bringing the Play services to the people. And also get a vast distribution of the Play Store amongst the users. And what these Play services do is they bind the smartphone user to the Google services. By using the Play services, apps gain access to the Google Play Store. The Play services pop up in an Android operating system just as if they were a part of the operating system, but in contrast to APIs that allow access to camera or GPS. This is a component that allows access to the Google services. And one of these services we already know, it's the push service from Google. These services also allow access to Google Drive, to Maps, over the Play Store. It can be requested, hey, has a certain product been bought and stuff like that. There is a Wi-Fi provisioning service which can be used to establish my current position without using the GPS. Cellular positioning is also part of the system, and during the COVID time the contact tracing has been part of the Play services as well.
Yeah. Meine Erfahrung sagt mir,
my experience tells me that most of the apps out there use the Play services only for gaining access to the push service. That's my experience. And it's also my claim. Of course, there are apps that use also other services, but there are not so many apps that use the other services like Maps as apps that are using the push notifications. Duolingo, for example, does not use the app service, but it uses the push notifications.
Also wenn ich mir angucken würde, wie viele Apps Dienste gebrauchen, dann würde ich sagen, ja,
how many apps use which service? Then it looks a little bit like this. And push is this service that's used by the vast majority of the apps out there.
Ich würde aber, wie gesagt, sagen,
but that's my claim, and we basically would have to find that out.
Also, ich stelle die Behauptung jetzt einfach mal auf.
So, yes, that's a claim und, I make.
Ja. Gibt es da Alternativen dazu? Zu Play Services?
Yeah, are there alternatives to the Play Services? Yeah, there are some. Maybe some of you have already heard that. Micro-G, for example, is an open source implementation of the Play Services on the phone.
Und das ist der wichtige Teil.
And that's the important part.
Micro-G kann
Micro-G
zumindest nicht
can't really
Micro-G kann
replace Google, at least not in all cases. Micro-G can
ersetzen,
replace the closed source parts of the Android operating also systems that is running directly on the phone. For example, this Play Services module on the phone. Micro-G tries its best to do this
sagen,
without Google,
die halt
it's still offering the same services.
Play Store brauche, das lässt sich nicht Google-frei implementieren.
But, for example, access to the Play Store is something that cannot be Maps implemented without Google services.
Maps,
for example,
anbiete,
would be possible. You can implement a Maps service based
oder
on OpenStreetMaps.
That
works, basically. Or for Wi-Fi location provisioning. That's not something you need the Google databases for.
XYZ, aber ich dort auch und
but
eine eigene Datenbank
you could also use an
was
own database for that. Micro-G can't replace or implement without Google services is the push service, because Micro-G does not have access to the communication between Google services and the phone. That's something we don't have access to. This is communication between computation center and computation center. So if we want to have Google push, we have our only option is to use the service from Google.
Ja. Und gegeben wenn man jetzt oder wenn diese Aussage
and
stimmt, dass die
well,
meisten
if my claim is true that most of the apps
die Micro oder die Play Services nur deswegen
use the Play Services only for access to the push service,
könnte man sagen, vielleicht einen Anteil von
then
80% der Apps könnte man lauffähig bekommen auf einem Smartphone,
make about 80% of the apps runnable on a smartphone if you establish a push standard.
Sollte das so sein, könnte man sagen,
and if this claim is true, then you could say that we have a dependency to the Google system because of their push service. And that's the source of my claim that push is a blocker for a free smartphone operating system. I want to extend my claim from before a little bit and say push is most probably the most critical part of the Play Services we have to take a look at.
Schauen wir uns nochmal das Henne-Ei-Problem an.
Let's have a look at this Henne-Deck problem again. One could say smartphone manufacturers deploy Micro-G and accept that they provide
sicheres Smartphone-Betriebssystem.
Push services, and if I want to have an operating system that goes more in the open source direction, I would be able to escape this hand and egg problem, because the manufacturer could provide a Google-free operating system. And for example, two companies are doing that, Huawei and Murena slash Fairphone.
Well,
if you heard the news in the last few years, Morena had to go with the alternative because they are not allowed to use the Google services anymore. And Morena is doing that on their own. And it turns out that this is quite risky, because if many manufacturers are doing that because, well, then Google gets annoyed and just excludes Microchip from the AOSP or from the devices and tries to get rid of it.
Perfekt, das ist wunderbar, kein Problem, aber wir müssen quasi immer damit rechnen, dass es mal den Tag gibt, an dem Google den Hard
so we also have to expect that it is possible that Google simply cuts you off and that's it. And if Google does that, it's over for NewPipe. But this probably will not come, so we're fine there.
Ja.
Right. But because this is risky, most manufacturers decide not to roll out Micro-G, at least not as long as Micro-G is dependent on Google services. And so because of that, we likely will not see more manufacturers that roll out alternative operating systems. And so in accordance to that, and the graphs that I've shown you, I would claim that because, or also because of claim 2 that I'm giving, that push is the most critical part of why people have Play services installed. And I would say if you standardize push, you can open up the market barrier or you can reduce the market barrier for entering the push market and also make this economically feasible for manufacturers to roll out smartphones without Google services installed. So what can we do now? As a community, what we can do is we can talk about it. That's what I'm doing right now here. I'm trying to raise awareness for this problem
and
I want to put this into the heads of the people that there is an alternative, that it exists. And of course, I have raised several claims and theses, and I have to prove my claims. For example, there is the Exodus project. The Exodus project is a attempt to scan apps to figure out if these apps have trackers or not. For example, if you use the Aurora Store, which is an alternative front end for the Google Play Store, the Aurora Store is able to use the Exodus database to show you trackers or Google services or other services used by apps before you download them. And it would be possible to do this even more granular to figure out whether an app, so you can not just say whether an app uses Play services, but which Play services it uses. And the only thing that I'm worried about is that Exodus is doing static code analysis, and I believe that to figure out which parts of the app are used, you need dynamic code analysis. So this would not be easy to do on a mobile operating system, and it's not possible on a mobile operating system because you require root access. It may be possible to do on a system using Micro-G, but Micro-G would have to implement the checking that which services it uses from Google, and Micro-G would also have to then decide to turn over the data to a database for other people to use. So, the funny thing here at the top of the slide, and so this bullet point I've created 5 minutes before the presentation. So the hurdle, the mountain, we cannot pass that via software development. Unified push exists and it works already. But we will not be able to convince to a WhatsApp, for example, to implement unified push. And so that's why I think that the only way that we have right now is to say we use use politics. We go to politics and we ask them to basically enforce the Digital Rights Act so that the focus is not just on Google Play Store, but rather also the platforms that the apps run on. It doesn't help me to say that if I have an Android phone, and everything I'm saying here can be applied to iOS as well, there's no use in saying I replace the store and use or give other alternative stores a chance that distribute apps that then also run on Google or Apple operating system. Because as soon as you start with, for example, in-app purchases, well, now you have app from store XYZ, but the in-app purchases still work within Play Store, so you have not gained much. And so now the most important point is to basically go to politics. I cannot do that. I don't know how to talk to politicians or... Yeah, I don't know how to talk to politicians and I don't know how to talk to people who talk to politicians. So my approach is to raise awareness to the problems in the hope that somebody who is better at doing this and talking to these people to do that. What we can also do is we can do a bit of a more simple approach to this. What we can do is we can start digging at the problem piece by piece, iteratively, and say we approach the manufacturers of mobile operating systems and the developers of apps. So I could imagine that an Open Cloud or Next Cloud would be open to the approach of including other services apart from Google Push, for example, Unified Push in their applications. For example, I know that multiple people here in the audience, there are attempts to teach Mattermost to use Unified Push, and so we can basically do a bit of lobbying here to go to manufacturers and developers. For example, Fairphone has EOS as an offering, and so you can basically do a cold mail and then send it to, for example, Nothing Phone and just see what happens from that. And the last point is that the problem cannot be solved with technology, but you can kind of surround the problem or circle the problem with technology. So for example, Marvin B., the developer of MicroG, said that he is thinking about creating a proxy. So the idea is to have the MicroG services talk to MicroPush or speak micro Unified Push. So somewhere out there, there would be a MicroG server that can take Google Push notifications and then redistribute them as Unified Push notifications, so that you on your smartphone can hold open a Unified Push connection, but you can still talk or you can still use Google Push notifications. It's not really a solution though, because you're still using Google services, you're still using Google Push, but as a individual user, you still get at least some steps in the right direction. The developer of the Unified Push told me at FOSDEM that he is in connection with the European Union to basically say that the API that apps use to receive push capabilities, which is currently within Play services, and he said that he would like to push to move this API to AOSP project, so that we can then say that the push provider is just a normal app within Android with a couple of extra features, and we can replace, for example, the push service with Unified Push or Yeah, but the app would not see this or they would not notice from their communication with the operating system API. And that's a good approach, and it's getting in the right direction. And he claimed that it would be great if unified push would not even be needed in the next 5 years, because everything is going into the operating system anyways. There's one problem with that. Because Play Services is the cash cow of Google, so Google will not go down without a fight. And even if the API from a smartphone side is implemented, we still have the problem that there is the interface to the application server. If the Google server only knows the Google Push server, we can replace the app on the smartphone, but then in the end we can still only use Unified or Google Push. Even right now we have an open implementation of the Google Push service software side or client side with the MicroG project, but we need to approach both sides, the smartphone side as well as the decentralization side. That we need to approach from the interface side of the application server.
Genau.
Right. Is there one more technical thing to say? I had something in my head, but I can't remember it right now. Ah, there it is.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah, so with those words, I would like to thank you for your attention. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the stream. And if you have any questions, please approach me, ask me now. If you're watching in the stream, write me a message. I'm reachable via Matrix. I'm also reachable via email, but please use Matrix if possible. If you have a different opinion than me, then please discuss with me. I can be wrong with my claims. I would like to know better. I would like to have clear and hard facts and more ideas on the facts. And yeah, approach me, let us talk. Thank you.
Ja, danke schön zu deinem wunderbaren Vortrag. Gibt es denn hier Fragen?
So, I see at least one question from the audience. Okay, so you're talking about this push server that is outside of the smartphone. Would it be possible to run this server on the smartphone? No. The smartphone is behind a firewall and behind a network address translation system. And if you move the push server behind the firewall, it has the same problem with the phone itself. So I would have to establish an own server. Okay. So this whole push topic only works because I don't. This whole push topic is only done because I can't open an incoming port on my smartphone. So I would like to have something that looks like a server from the viewpoint of an application. And again, you would like to have a server on the smartphone that connects with the application server. Yeah, this would be polling again. On slide 2 that I showed you with the different apps on the smartphone, if each of them opens a connection to the server, this for some apps this would work. If they don't are push capable, they try to establish their own connection. For example, Conversation is doing that, WhatsApp is doing that if there's no push server reachable. I don't know how it's done with Signal. I think they are also able to do that. But if this is the case, then there are three three apps that have a permanent connection with their application server, and they have to ping it regularly such that the connection is kept alive, and they have to reconnect from time to time, and this costs a lot of computation power and energy, and our smartphones are energy-constrained devices. Yeah, that's a pity. With unified push, ideally I would have one server set up with my phone such that you only have this one connection. Where can I make this configuration? Is there a setting, or is this a library that's linked into the apps, or is this a setting per app, or how does this work? With unified push, it's a little bit complex. What I showed you was a little bit more on the abstract side. Basically, you're right, because unified push would have to be a part of the operating system. Unfortunately, it is not yet right now, but there are also other reasons why they are not doing that. So you can't integrate it into an operating system when the operating system itself is locked down. But there's one central point where I set up or where I configured this push server. So this must be done once in the operating system, and this would have to be propagated to each and every app on my smartphone. With unified push, it's like that. The connection between push server and the phone, it's not predefined with unified push. If unified push says I can install a provider on my phone which provides this interface, but how this provider communicates with the push server is consequently not part of unified push. For example, conversations, this XMPP app. This could work as a server. You could do unified push over XMPP. What conversation is doing is that they have somewhere in the network a push server that implements the web push RFC standard and sends the push notification to your XMPP server, and that one tunnels it to your conversation, and that's how the app gets the push notification. So, because this provider does not come with a standard implementation, it depends on the provider you're actually using. Sunset, for example, uses the Mozilla push server, or there is one that tunnels through the Google push services. They are tunneling unified push through Google push. One moment. You talked about web push in particular. Do you know how this works if I have Safari or Google Chrome on a website on my phone and I allow a website to send me messages? How does this work? Thanks for the question. You just picked up this point on the slide, which I could not recall during my talk. The Google Push server can support web push. It is able to do that because Chrome on your phone can receive web push. I did not look this up. I've gained this knowledge on the FOSDEM. This interface, but it seems this interface is there, but it's not documented, such that a Chrome on a Google phone can receive web push notifications. iOS also can supports that, but it did not work for a very long time because Apple was very afraid that websites and progressive web apps could be concur with their own apps. And for this reason, they did not allow WebPush on iOS. In the meanwhile, it looks like Safari supports that, but in that case, WebPush is also just being tunneled through Apple Push, just like this is done in the other case with Google Push. And I'm not really sure whether this undocumented web push interface is usable for other apps than Google Chrome, because in that case you could end up quite hacky kind of way allow access to web push over Google Push. So if I got you right, then web push, If a fork of a browser or my own browser would implement web push, then it could, for example, implement web push over their own push server. And this way the web app developer could register with the web push server instead of Google. Not sure if I got this right. I'll try to answer your question. Yes, GrapheneOS can have its own push server, and it can say, yes, please, apps, communicate over this push server. But the application server of WhatsApp does not know this GrapheneOS application server. It's hard-coded in the application service, hey, connect to the Google server, and that's because this probably doesn't work for WhatsApp. It only works for apps which actually know this particular unified push standard and the infrastructure behind it. But in general, you could implement web push completely freely, and yes, that's possible. Are there more questions? You have been talking about providers. How could I set them up in GrapheneOS? Yeah, they are in the F-Droid store. You just pick a provider of your choice, and this is how you get unified push. And I don't have to set up anything? Yes, that's the case. Unified push defines an interface and not an app. I can say, yes, hey, please, if Molly implements unified push for Signal, then I can just install a Molly provider from the F-Droid store, and Signal can just use it. You don't have to do more than that. Problem is, these apps can only be executed in foreground. If you have a phone from a Chinese or Asian manufacturer, then they are pretty strict in what is handled or allowed as a foreground app, and these can then kill the unified push server, and then this solution doesn't work anymore. But right at the moment, unified push is not installable as part of the operating system itself. So, yeah, you have to install a provider, and this way these apps would work. There is one question left. We have 3 minutes left. One question. Thanks for this talk. I wanted to know, since Molly, the Signal client alternative, this one supports unified push. The question is, how does this work? Because Signal per se does not support unified push. Let me explain quickly. I wanted to explain this beforehand. The way how Molly is doing that is quite hacky. In my particular case, for example, it did not work. There's a web UI from Signal, and this web UI provides web push, because there's a website and this is the web push standard. And it's pretty simple to register a new web push client. The Signal client is open source. And there's a bridge that tells Signal, hey, I am a website or a web push client, and this bridge forwards the connections or incoming information to the unified push server. And this bridge is something you have to install for Molly on a Hetzner server or something like that. And if this instance dies for some reason, you basically are not informed about that, you're not getting any push notifications anymore. Great. So at this point, thank you for all your questions and a big thank you for the